So I can record. All right. So I apologize for adding some really interesting discussions in the 11th hour. Did you guys get a chance to at least look at the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Nemches? Chance to look at that? Okay, great. Pretty awesome Gemara, right? So the background question that we're interested in, let me just say, let's review very quickly about the Kusha Dechiyusa and Tirchi Yisteira discussion. We're interested in cases where the Shomer breached his duty. The case that the Gemara talks about in Tzadi Gimel is the case where he's a shepherd and the flock was being threatened by some sort of predator, a wolf, a lion, and the Shomer could have taken steps to save the flock. In particular, the Gemara says he could have called in Roim, he could have brought in ammunition. If he's a Shomer Chinam, he's expected to bring them in for free. If he's a Shomer Safar, he's expected to advance money on behalf of the Mafkid to save the animals. And we saw a whole interesting discussion in the Shomrim about in a case where the Shomer Sachar does not do so, how much is he liable to pay? So the Rambam's Kipashtas, Ufi Pashtas in the Rambam, it sounded like the Shomer is chayiv to pay the full market value of the flock that died, that was destroyed. The Ravid disagreed. The Ravid said the Shomer is only obligated to pay the difference between the market value of the flock and the amount the Balabayas would have had to cover had the Shomer laid out money to save them. Everybody remember this? That was the crucial argument of the Ravid. And the Ravid went further and said, if the cost of saving the items, the cost of saving the flock would have run up the entire value of the sheep, then the Shomer just pays the transaction cost value, meaning how much would the Bailim have paid to not have the tircha of having to buy new animals? How much would he pay to not have the tircha of having to train a new animal? That would be the measure of damages. If there's a total offset between the market value of the sheep and the cost of saving them. Everybody good with that? That's just the background. Okay. So what I want to look at today is this ancillary question related to that discussion. The Gemara here says, again, especially according to the... So the Gemara here says that the Shomer is expected to put forward cash for the Bailim to save the animals. And if he doesn't do so, that generates liability. The question is, what about the Shomer's compensation? Does the Shomer forfeit his compensation in cases where he ought to have saved the animals? Okay, I mean, it's like a pretty obvious, straightforward question. It's kind of shocking it's not addressed anywhere directly in the Gemara. No, isn't that surprising? You would think this is like a very basic Shomer Sachar type question. Does he get to hold on to his schar? Or does his schar go back to the Bailim in a case where he didn't satisfy his Shmirah obligation? Evan, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, no, you clarified it by using schar instead of compensation. I was just confused for a second when you meant the like compensation in terms of like the payment the money should have put down to hire the mercenaries to help him, or like that, like the amount he was going to get paid for the shooting.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean the latter, right? So
yeah.
Right. So let's just distinguish now between the Shomer's liability owed to the Bailim, and let's just call it the Shomer's wages for his Shmirah, right? So what's the status of his wages in these cases? So the Gemara is nowhere explicit about this. The closest thing we have to an explicit Gemara is the sugya on Nunches, which I added yesterday. So let me just anybody want to volunteer to explain what's going on? Like, what are the salient features of that Gemara? Zacharia, you're our designated volunteer.
Sure. Okay. So the Mishnah that is going on says that because of a mute from the Pasuk, Shomrim are excluded from Hekdesh. So it says the Shomrim Chinam Eino Nishba, Nosei Sachar Eino Mishalim.
Right. So there are let's just say there are no Dine Shomrim when it comes to Hektish, in the same way that there are no Shomrim for Ona and Gneva, et cetera, et cetera. So in the same way that there's no Dine Ona and Gneva when it comes to Hektish.
Yeah. And we saw this in a prior context, in the context of, well, Poshe Kamazik might be an exception. As in, there's no Shomrim, but Poshe Kamazik might be liable for.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's the Mishnah. Bryce, which seems to contradict it, is there's Shomrim over Shkolim, as in the Machtes Shekel, which has status of Hektish for a town, and it's Nignav and Nevad, and the Bryce makes it sound like one way or the other, these Shomrim have to swear. So the Mishnah said they don't swear, the Bryce says they do swear.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
So we have a Brysa that seems to contradict this rule. The Brysa talks about B'nei Ha'ir, who send their shkolim over to the Beis HaMikdash. They send the shkolim with Shomrim. So I guess think of like the Brinks security armored trucks that have to deliver the cash to the Beis HaMikdash. Something happens, Nignav along the way. The Brysa requires the security man to take a shuvah, which implies, as Zachariah said, that there are Dine Shomrim that apply to that case. Seems like the Gemara assumes that they're taking a Shavua in order to be exempt from liability, right? Which implies that there are Dine Shmira in Hektish cases, contradicting the Mishnah statement. Good. So what does the Braisa say? What does the Gemara say?
Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Hacha benose sachar askinan, benishba'in litol scharan. So point one, Mekru Kimta, we're dealing with a paid watchman. In other words, the people schlepping the shkolim were paid, Shomer Sachar. And the reason that they're swearing is not to prevent liability, rather it's to allow them to collect their wages.
Yeah. So we're conceding the point that there's no liability, there's no Shomrim liability in Hektish cases. And we're diffusing the contradiction by making an ukimta in the Brysa that it's talking about the wages, right, of the Shomrim to collect their wages rather than their liability to the Bailim for loss. Right, Zachariah? Yeah, excellent. So that's really important. And what does the Brysa conclude for our purposes? What's important? For us.
Right. Well, actually, just going back to the beginning of the line, the third line. Yeah. So v'hadningavu asha avduktani. But wait, if there's shomer sachar, Bryce said that the circumstance, the case is that it was stolen. V'shomer sachar b'gneva veda chiyuvim mechayev. And typically, a shomer sachar is liable for gneva. V'hachanami nihid shumi lo mishami agrayhu mielipsi. So granted, in our circumstance, since we're dealing with hektish, they will not be liable to pay back the entire value of the pikadon, but they should still, nevertheless, lose out their wages.
Yeah.
Since they're responsible for the Aveda, they should lose their wages, just in short.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is pretty interesting, right? I mean, it's just it's interesting that the Brysa here assumes a direct correspondence between the Shomer's liability and his right to collect wages, right? So the Gemara assumes that there's like a direct overlap between those sets, right? So like the set of cases where the Shomer would otherwise be liable for Gneva Aveda is gonna like overlap with the cases where he has to forfeit his wages and forego payment, right? Sorry, is that the point you're making there?
Yeah.
Okay, so what does the Gemara answer? The Gemara says, no, this is the case of Shomer Sachar B'Pater, Nignu B'Listim Mizuyin, or Avadu Shetabu Sfinasa Bayam, which are Ones cases, and that's why they could be Shavua.
Yeah, but
right?
It seems to grant the premise of the question. As in, if it had been Gneva, even though they would never have to pay out, they would lose their wages.
Yeah. So we have a very important Gemara here, which seems to establish that, at least in this case, where a Shomer would be Chayiv or would have been Chayiv for Geneva Veda, he forfeits his wages. Okay, everybody agree with that idea? And Rashi here explicates this. We have two important Rashis. So let's see. Rashi number one is Hacha Benosei Schar. Let's just read it.
So Hacha Benosei Schar Askinan, Klomar. Shvuzo Loli Pate Vitashlumini. Delav Shomachinam Nishba al Pshia, Velo Nosei Schar Mashan in Yah Veda. He must use it. They didn't yet receive their wages. The Govins are in B'nai Ha'ir, and they're collecting it from the B'nai Ha'ir.
Yeah. And then Rashi says, L'kame parech. Let's see.
V'akev the Shomer Sachar, yesh alav the Shomer al Migneiru Aveda, v'lo Shamar, he had a duty to watch it from these things, and he didn't. Alo Hishlim Avodaso, he's not completed his work. He should not earn wages.
This is a very important formulation, right? Rashi here seems to think that the ground for withholding wages from the Shomer Sachar is that he wasn't mashlim avodaso. He didn't do the job that he was hired to do, and that undercuts his basis for receiving wages. Okay. That's a really important formulation. Rashi returns to that formulation later on in the Sugya. Over here, in these two Rashis. So
Hachanami Nihid Shlumi Lo Mashalmi, the Imai Tekdeshos Mitashlumi Shomim. So granted, he doesn't have to pay out for the whole Pikadon because he's the Miyot in the Pasuk. Agrayhu Mialipsik, he should nevertheless lose the wages. Shari Nishtabdu Lashomran Migneva Veda. The Amanas Kane Hayunotlin Safar.
Right. So let me just say there's a background issue here about to what extent Hekdesh is excluded from Shomrim rules. Rashi here seems to think that there are some Shomrim rules that could apply in Hekdesh, right? So he says, Shari Nishtabdu L'Shomrim Migneva Veda, that somehow is in effect, even though there's no Tashlume Shomrim in Hekdesh. It's interesting, this question, like, what are Shomrim rules? What aren't Shomrim rules? Which Shomrim rules could apply even with the Gzeiras HaKasav of excluding Hekdesh? But then he has this thing over here, which means what, Zecharia?
That they only receive their wages in return for doing their malacha, their duties, which was to properly watch it. They didn't do their work. They didn't properly watch it. They don't earn wages.
Yeah. So they forfeit their schar on that basis.
Yes.
I think it's uncontroversial that this Gemara establishes, at least in this case, that the Shomer, I think we're getting feedback. Adina, is there a way to mute your phone or you can't?
That you were hearing something from me?
I think maybe there's feedback from your phone, maybe.
I don't think it was from Adini, Tamar.
I'm happy to mute myself, though.
No, it's not me either.
Okay.
I'll mute myself for now. I'll mute myself, and just in case it was me, I'll mute myself and unmute myself if I need to speak up.
Perfect. So the Gemara seems to establish that just in this Hekdesh case, the Shomer does forfeit his schar. And the question that we have to think about is whether this case is universalizable to non-Hekdesh cases. And we'll talk about that in a second. Let's just take Adam's hand first. Adam, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, just a general question. In general, in terms of Hekdesh, are we mechalek between cases where you're actually chayim in terms of a chayis?
Like, who is there? Shimon? Bad kachim shechayim.
Right, back for a son, yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole discussion. The Mishnah there, I think he is Cholek, and that Mishnah on Nunvav, where this comes from. So yeah, there's a whole, that depends on that Machlokas Amarayim and whether you could have Bailus Hedyot in Hekdesh cases through the Achrayim. Yeah, that's a whole interesting discussion in and of itself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it's not relevant for us because we're just going to assume that this is actually Hekdesh stuff and subject to the Hekdesh exclusions.
Right, but in that case, you don't have the problem of actually rectifying some type of loss to anyone.
Right. Correct. So here's the question, guys. So do you think this case is generalizable to non-Hekdesh cases? What would be the issue in that? What do you think the issue? What's the problem? Gabe?
Yes, I think this gets back to our Yesodos from Liechtenstein, which is if you think about Shomrim as a form of guarantor or a form of insurance, then perhaps the duty of the Shomer is just to provide Tashlumen in the event of Neva Baveda, and then he has performed his duty. Whereas, so this is, might be a unique case in that the Shomer Sachar doesn't pay. The flip side would be not think about Shomer in that way, and to think about Shomer as a Chiyuv Shmira with an additional responsibility to pay in the event of loss, in which case you might say that this could be generalizable to a regular Shomer.
Yeah, so say a little more about that. So Gabe, you think you're already saying this depends on how we conceive of a Shomer Sachar in the first place, right?
Yes, essentially, right, if the job of a Shomer Sachar is to ensure that the Baal Behema receives either his animal or the value of Behema at the end of the day, and that's the responsibility of the Shomer, then in any case where Tishlumen is in play, then the Shomer has performed his duty and he's getting paid to provide that kind of insurance.
Oh, so let me just take a step back before your analysis. You know, I agree with your analysis, but I think we should say one thing before we get there, and that is what's unique about the Hektish case is that no compensation is being paid. There's no liability to the Bailam. So you might say, uniquely in that type of a case, the Shomer will forfeit his schar because he's not paying, he has no liability of replacement towards the Bailam. So in that type of a case, he gets penalized through disgorging his wages. But in a case where he's paying compensation, where he's paying the replacement cost of the item back to the Bailam, it would almost be like double punishing him to hold him liable for damages and to force him to give back his schar. Right. So then Gabe, you're already zooming in on that question and saying, well, whether he's being double punished or not will depend on this following chakira. Right? Good. Does everybody see the issue here? At least the question about whether this sugya is unique because there's no liability because of gzeiras hakasev. Everybody on board with that? Adam Isaac, give a hand.
And yes. Just trying to remember, what did Rashi say in terms of the question of achrayus versus duty when we previously were talking about this case? Like not in terms of the case of kachim, but in terms of just general shmira. So I feel like he said achrayus.
We have to look back more carefully at the Rashi's in light of this Rashi.
This Rashi is very clear. It's not a din in achrayus.
Well, in this Rashi, in this case, there is no achrayus, right?
Right. So exactly. Like may not be generalizable because you might generally put the normal case of shmira as achrayus, but here there's no possible achrayus, right? Exactly. So of course you have double penalty. Of course, like if you extend this to other cases, right? If I didn't do my duty, you're not going to pay me. And of course, triggered you a liability, so I need to rectify the liability.
100%. So this is where Gabe's analysis comes in. I agree with you, Adam. And when Rashi says, "Shari nishtabdu l'shomran migneva aveda, b'harei lo hishlimu malachtan," I think Gabe was saying, look, in a standard Shomer Sachar case, he was mashlim malachto by paying out the liability to the bailam, right?
I'm not sure that's mashmas from Rashi.
What's that, Gabe?
I'm not sure that's the mashmas from Rashi, because Rashi thinks the malachta, right, he's not talking about they didn't sort of offer up their achrayus. He says they were in mashlim their malachtan. So he separates out the achrayus from the chiyuv shmir.
Right, but my point is, it may be true that it's uniquely in a case of hektish where there is no achrayus, there's no liability as part of the agreement, that it's right to characterize the agreement as nishtabdu l'shomran migneva aveda, because that's the only type of shmira that could take place in a hektish case where there's no liability. However, you might say, in a case where there's liability kicked in, that the shomer is accepting liability, he is mashlim his malacha by either performing shmira or by cutting out a check and compensatory damages. See that, Gabe? That would be the way of saying that Rashi's statement here is limited to a case where there's no achrayas tashlumin. That's the way of reading Rashi in light of your analysis, I would say. Zachar, you had a hand on this, that you were going to mention something?
Yeah, I want to bring back a discussion of do we look at the shomer as a poel? For example, I mean, a lobster bow. I don't remember a lot of the discussion, but just kind of bring that factor into here is in just how, as in even putting the tashlumin question aside, even if he has to pay, what the payment does, but just do we look at him as someone who's even doing malacha in any sense? If we do, it's, I think you could very easily expand Rashi to every kind of case where, listen, whatever you want to say about the insurance and the tashlumin, he still is also a poel. And by him failing, and I kind of read Rashi the same way Gabe did, that it's Rashi saying this across the board, even in classic cases, that the reason that the schar is directly linked to the malacha, the poel side of the shomer, even in cases where the poel side is less important.
So let me say two things on that. So number one, I agree that you could read Rashi that way, but you see, I'm offering an alternative way of reading Rashi, that he only would characterize the Shomer Sachar as purely Poel, or in Poel terms, when there's no Achrayas to be had, such as in this Hektish case. Dakar, you see that, right? That's my alternative reading of Rashi. Meaning Rashi would never say, my point is that Rashi wouldn't characterize a standard Shomer Sachar in this way. It's uniquely for a non-Achrayas based Shomer Sachar that he would characterize it as grounded in the malacha performance,
right?
But I agree that you could read it your way also. The second thing I would say, I think you're right. So that what you're saying, Zachariah, and this is what Gabe's getting at also, is that the reason why he disgorges his wages is because he breached the contract, and like he breached the service contract. He was supposed to provide a certain degree of shmira. He was being paid to provide that degree of shmira, and when he breaches that that part of the agreement, he forfeits his wages, which were compensation for that level of shmira that he was supposed to provide. Right? That's the idea. Okay.
Almost like a gili milsa, as in the consequence that it was stolen is a gili milsa that he didn't do a proper activity, but it's right. Not the theft itself, which is the problem.
Right. It's a gilei milsa that he breached the standard of shmira that he was supposed to undertake.
Yeah.
So I think that my only concern with that formulation is, doesn't it seem then, I'll say I have two concerns to that type of argument. Number one, doesn't it seem then that we're double punishing the poel? So number one, we're forcing him to cover the replacement cost of the item. Number two, he's forced to give back his schar. So you might, one way of putting this is like, look, the bialim is made whole already by receiving compensation. Seems a little strange that he should be made whole plus get back the schar that he paid. That's one thing just to consider. I know it's not the strongest argument, but just consider that for a second. Number two, which I think is a stronger argument, is there a concern that we're undercutting the Shomer Sachar's status as a Shomer Sachar if he's not entitled to hold on to his wages? Meaning, the idea is that like if he's not getting schar for this, it's not really fair to treat him as a Shomer Sachar anymore. He's more like, you know, Chazar Dino Leos Kishomer Chinam, who wouldn't even be Chayiv for Gneva Veda. So you might say that a necessary condition of triggering the liability rules is that the Shomer actually receives some consideration for his Shmira. Does everybody see that second argument? That's just something that we'd have to consider. You may have thoughts on it, Al Regalachas.
Can you repeat the second argument?
Yeah, the second argument is that we generalize Rashi, right? So it's responding to the theory that we generalize Rashi, and in all cases where a Shomer Sachar is liable to pay, he also disgorges his wages. But my question is, well, on what ground then is it fair to treat him as a Shomer Sachar if he's not actually being paid for his service, right? So, but you need him to be a shomer sachar to trigger the liability of Gneva Aveda. When he has to disgorge his schar, it's not obvious that it's fair to treat him as a shomer sachar still. Right?
I don't have such a problem with that. Simply from the perspective of why doesn't he get his wages? He doesn't get his wages because he didn't perform his duties. Now, why is he chayiv to reimburse you? Because not only did he not perform his duties, he also was negligent.
Well, let's talk about a Gneva Aveda case, right? He was only negligent relative to the standard expected of him as a shomer sachar, right? So granted, so one argument you can make is like, well, had he abided by the terms of the agreement, then he would have gotten schar. So like that sad is sufficient to characterize him as a shomer sachar.
Right.
Obvious that that's sufficient in a case where he didn't abide by the standard of shmira, and therefore he's not receiving any schar. So it's not obvious that it's still reasonable to attribute to him liability rules as a shomer sachar.
I think this is fun for the theory you were talking about before, where this is a general case of where you're hived to anyone for liabilities you impose upon them, right? This isn't from that same din. We could say, well, this is a different din, and now you've imposed new liabilities upon him separate from your shmira, right? He had an expectation you were going to do this. He could have gone to a different guy, but now you've imposed these risks onto him. So now when it's triggered, now you're going to be hived.
Interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting way of thinking about it.
We have a similar concept in like where you actually hire someone and they back, right? When we discussed the last year, you hire someone, they back out. Like someone has to get the cost and now going to find the new guy.
Yeah. Right. That's true. You do have types of cases like that. Yeah. Let me think about it a little more. So anybody else have thoughts on these, on this issue here? So before we look at the Makoros on this?
You mentioned this like a bunch of minutes ago, offhandedly, but like, I think it's worth thinking about, like, how on earth is this not discussed more explicitly? Like, this is like a Mishnah level din. It's like, Shomer Safar Chayiv, the Enu Makabel Safar. It's like, the omission of this was like really shocking. And like, unless you want to say when the Mishnah, like, want to be cute, and like, when the Mishnah says Chayiv, that's all the money that changes hands. And there's no sachar that changes. But I don't know. I think like the fact that this is missing is really surprising.
Yeah. That's like gets back into like a more meta issue about like what issues does the Bavli tend to focus on, right? Like, does the Bavli cover all the basic issues? It's interesting question. To my mind, this is a very basic issue that the Bavli just doesn't even decide to cover, right, Zakaria? Yeah, I don't have anybody's thoughts on that. Or we, no. Sure, you must have a thought on that. I mean,
I actually don't have any thoughts on that. I think that like I wish I understood better, like how Mishnah Yerushalmi Bavli and then like actually self-concept, like their own self-conceptions, and then also like that's not necessarily the same way the Rishonim or Mishyachis do it. To it, like that's my only, like Lav Dafka, the way the Rishonim thought the Bavli worked is the way the Bavli thought the Bavli worked, but I don't have I don't even have an intuition of like what I agree with Zachariah's point here. Like I think it's weird to leave this out. I think it's weird to leave it out. I think it's weird for it not to come out more explicitly, even if it was left out. So yeah.
But this is an interesting point, just because like I feel pretty strongly about this. Like a lot of people. It's like a Derech HaLimud question. When you learn a sugya, do you just follow like what the Gemara says and what the Rishonim talk about? Or are you looking, like my point is that what the Rishonim focus on and what the Bavli focuses on is not, does not always correspond to the fundamental issues in the sugya, right? It's like, this is a fundamental issue in the sugya of Shomrim that has very little analog in like the literature of the Gon, in the literature of the Rishonim and the Bavli. So it's like an interesting Derech HaLimud question. So we just follow like the stuff that the Rishonim talk about. We learn Tosos and Rambans and Witvas versus like we're looking for the core questions on the topic. So
I wonder if this is like a case where it's like overanalyzing. Like if you like went to a restaurant and you gave like the valet your car, like you gave him your Ferrari and you crashed it, right? It, like you would say like you have to pay for my Ferrari. Like he wouldn't say like, no, minus the value of me taking your car there. Like that wouldn't happen. No one would have that question. Like, of course you're not paying him for taking your car there. He crashed it.
Right, right. I guess so.
But like no one's gonna ask that question.
So my neighbors across the street were very strict about COVID. They wouldn't let anybody into their house. They wouldn't leave their house. Like you'd think there was like nuclear hazmat stuff floating around the air, right? Then they had a kid and they decided they were gonna hire a nanny to help them out at home. And the nanny shows up on day number one, sneezing and coughing. And their baby got COVID, and then they all got COVID, and their two other kids got COVID, and they all had to stay home from school for like a month and a half. And then the nanny ended up in the hospital because, you know, she's not like a healthy woman. She ended up in the hospital for like 3 weeks. And, you know, I get to Adam's point. So Esty and I asked, we're like, oh, so did you pay her like for the... They're like, yeah, we felt bad for her. We paid her for 3 weeks, even though she showed up for one day. she got them all sick with COVID. And then the nanny spent the 3 weeks in the hospital, but the employers felt bad. That like the nanny didn't even know that they all got COVID because she was like unconscious in the hospital for like the week. But they felt bad, so they like they paid her for those days. So my point is, Adam, it's not
these people do everything wrong.
Right.
I don't know. I don't feel like this is a very like time for me to sit in situation.
Like, yeah, I like these people. Right, I like these people.
It's like Tanli as an efesh or a chush kachloch type thing. You know, it's like, all right, don't worry about the dinim ominous. My point, Adam, is that like your Ferrari example is not always indicative. You know.
This is true. I know a family who has ducks. So when they were growing up, they hired a guy to come with a gun to watch over them so the eagles wouldn't get them. So they spent like 10 times what the ducks cost to hire this guy to come with a gun.
Oh, there you go.
To bring it back around, just kind of talking about this, I think in terms of like, is it a dump or pusher that of course we wouldn't pay them? We do have the sugya of the aris, who's hired, or usually the choker, who's hired to like water the field, and then it rains, or like he's hired to water the poles, hired to water the field, and then the river dries up, so they can't irrigate it. And we have this idea of like, okay, the poles sometimes gets paid for doing not a job, as in for doing no malacha. And right. Like, you know, if you want to just paint with a broad stroke, you'd say halacha is pretty on the side of the poel, making sure he gets his wages, even in borderline cases. And the fact that if you want to read the Gemara and say, oh, of course, it's a double push. If you don't do your job, you'll get nothing. It's like, well, I don't know.
Right. I agree. Especially given the background fact that a necessary condition of triggering the liability rules is that he's a Shomer Safar. So, yeah, I definitely don't think you could pull the like, oh, it's omitted because it's such a double push card in these cases. So let's look at what some of the Rishonim say. So the Meiri has this comment. Let me start with the Magen Mishnah. We'll go to the Meiri. So the Magen Mishnah comments on this Gemara, and he says this. Anybody get a chance to see this Magen Mishnah? Gabe, did you get a chance? Oh, Gabe's not there. Cole, did you get a chance? You probably didn't get to see it, Cole, because I had this last minute.
I did not. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. Shmuel, did you get a chance to see this Magen Mishnah, or... One of my 11th hours editions. Shmuel, you ever get a chance to see it or no? No? Okay. So what the Magen Mishnah here says, Me'ashmua ha'amur b'gemara gabi hektish yishlomo sheshomer sachar shepater me'onsim b'chol makom shepater me'onsim b'chol makom im ne'nas hareze lo hifsit scharo ela nishba she'ne'nas v'notel scharo. If you ask me, this is like a trivial observation, right? In a case where the Shomer Sachar was nenas, and therefore he doesn't have to pay anything because he's pater from onsen, the Maga Mishnah's Diyuk that he still holds on to his schar. Lo hipsit scharo. Now, I think that that's obviously right. There's no question about that. The question is, does that imply that he thinks that if it's Gneva Aveda where you're Chayiv, then you are Mafsid Scharo? Or is his point that, like the argument to limit the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the only Havamino that we'll have about being Mafsid Scharo is where you're not paying Tashlumin? So, meaning he only has a Havamino at the Shomer Shi Mafsid Scharo in an Ones case, because there the Bailim doesn't receive any compensation. So when the Bailim doesn't receive compensation, then we raise, should the Shomer be Mafsid Scharo? Is that what's going on here? Or is there an inference to be drawn and say, look, he has to argue that an Onsen, the Shomer, is Potter. So that shows that the Maga Mishnah takes as Davar Pashit that in Gneva Aveda, the Shomer is going to be Chayiv to disgorge his compensation. Anybody have thoughts on this? I mean, I think it could go both ways.
I read it the inference way, as in that the Harizel lo hifsid. This guy is not losing out, but default, you know, of course, you know, give him the losing out once they're negligent. I think the Havamina is really interesting, which is exactly along the lines of what you're saying. As in the Havamina, if I'm not compensating you, as in I, the Shomer, I'm not paying back the owners, then maybe they don't, and they lost out, maybe they don't have to pay me. Because in the Havamina, and the fact that the Maga Mishnah reads the entire Gemara, the entire Braisa, its idea is just saying that thing, that in an Ones, the Shomerim actually do get paid still. Like, that itself is worth talking about.
You think the inference here is that in the Gneva Vavida case, for sure he doesn't get, the Shomer for sure doesn't get his wages?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I initially read it. I see your reading, but it's not like I don't think it's one way.
What do the rest of you think? Do you think Sakari is right in the to read the Maga Mishnah that way? Let's see. Imnena Sareza lo hifsid scharo. Interesting. Everybody thinks it goes both ways, or you agree with Sakari's diak?
I read it the way Zaharia did.
But do you hear my counter read, Gabe, at all? That the only Havamina to entertain Hefsid Scharo is where the Bailim's not made whole through damages. That's my counter.
Maybe a diet that's towards your reading, the he does very firmly qualify it as Gabe Hektish, Yesh Lo Mod, which, you know, this deliberate qualification might be specifically because this case is so strange.
You're punctuated wrong. Meshmu ha'amura b'gemara Gabe Hektish, Yesh Lo Mod, Shomar Sachar Shepard.
Right, that's just the subject of the Gemara. All right.
All right. And he uses language b'chol makom.
Cast it aside with a comma.
What do you say, Gabe?
Doesn't he use the language of b'chol makom in the next line?
Shomer Sachar, Shepater Mionzen b'chol makom, who's generally Pater from Onsen, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So it's clearly not just Hektish cases.
Yeah, this seems like a general rule.
Yeah. But that doesn't work against me. I mean, it doesn't work against my reading. Just blocks that attempted diet. Look at the Meiri's formulation here on Nunches Amid Aleph. So Meiri says, let's look at this carefully. He says, Shomer is Sachar in the Hektish case. Hovel v'shomer is Sachar chai b'gnei aveda b'din hedjot. Af b'shalinen Hektish eno kein mikol makam hifsidu sfaran. Shekol shechai b'tashlumen min hadin. The Siba Acheres Pochraso Scharo Mia Enogova. Now, like, the interesting thing here is, like, note, like, he easily could have taken out this in between clause, right? You should have just said, "Kol shechay b'tashlumin min adin, eino goves scharo." That would have been the better rule to say, right? Instead, he says he's like a right. The antecedent should have had one clause. Instead, he has two antecedents, right? It's if kol shechay b'tashlumin min adin. That's A. And siba acheres potraso, then scharo eino gove. And then he says, as an inference, mitoch kach yirli sheshomer sachar shehisneli pater b'gneva veda mitashlumin scharo mia nifsad sharei mikol makam lo nasis malachto. So he says we can infer from here if you have a shomer sachar who made a tanai to be pater from Gneva Aveda. So that means he doesn't have liabilities towards the Bailam for Gneva Aveda. He nevertheless forfeits his schar because lo nasis malachto. So the diak that I think here is that like by the fact, because the Meiri keeps prefacing the legal result with, and he's not like in cases where there's no liability, it sounds like the Meiri's legal conclusion is limited to those cases. That's just the diak that I thought resonated with me when I was reading this Meiri. Thoughts on that diak? Is that right? Gabe, you agree with the diak? Yeah, I think that's right. Otherwise, you stated the general rule, right?
I don't even think it's a diak. I think that's what the Meiri is trying to get at.
Right, so it's this res potrasso is crucial for the...
It's even better than a diak. It's the meaning of the words.
Oh, right, very good. Eina miyiri yotze mide pshuta. Right? You guys should, if you read Chaim Soloveitchik's Volume 3 of the Collected Essays, he has like a really snarky article about the miyiri. I don't know if anybody's read this.
You should read. I didn't know Volume 3 came out.
Yeah. It's hard to buy in print, but you could buy the Kindle book.
I'm gonna order it right now.
You could wait till after Chabura to order it, but yeah. I'm just kidding. It's interesting. So if anybody wants to write a response on the Meiri, that's that Meiri article. We have to find like a bunch of like good places where the Meiri has like really good shitas that other Rishonim don't have.
What's his beef with the Meiri?
He basically says that the Meiri is like art scroll and he doesn't like...
What's his beef with Art Scroll?
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Cool. It's a separate discussion. Wait, so Yakir, you have a hand on this? You have a hand on the Meiri?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I heard the deal correctly, because I've also been trying to be logical to real, but you're being medayik that if he's actually chayav, then he would get the scar? Is the deal?
Yeah, exactly. Meaning, okay. Why does the Meiri keep prefacing? Why does he preface this scharo eino gove with v'siba cheres potraso?
Okay, then I disagree. Then I definitely disagree with the diak.
Oh man! All right, let's hear you're disagreeing.
No, I don't think it's a good diak. Like if he didn't say siba cheres potraso, he would just be saying if you're chayav, then you don't get the schar, which is not what he's trying to say. He's trying to say even in case where l'maisa you're not chayav. That's why he keeps saying miha, right? Miha implies that this is the less pashut case. But the case where you're actually chayav is the more pashut case.
So you want to say for the Meiri that even where he's, so of course where he's chayav min adin and there's no siba cheres potraso, he would lose his scar? As you want to say?
Yeah, I think that's what the words in the Meiri sound like. Yeah.
And it's not just that you're having muddle-headed thinking because you're feeding Uriah?
That's definitely possible.
What do you guys think of Yakir's counter read?
Oh, he responds to, sorry, he Dr. Grach responds to Rav Buchwald on the Rivet. I was waiting for that.
All right, thanks, Cole.
This was like a, you know, Clash of the Titans on the Rivet.
Right. Ari, you have a hand on this? Adam, is that an old hand or a new hand?
New hand.
All right, so we'll take some Adam on this.
Yeah, so Noah and I went back and forth on this maybe a few times, and in the end, we actually read it like Yakir, but before it builds kind of the alternative deflationary reading, just according to you, what do you do with the phrase at the end? Shaharei mikol makom lo na'asis malachto. What work is that, you know, no pun intended, what work is that phrase doing for you?
Right. Yerli shomer sarah sheisna lipa b'nei aveda mitashlumin sfarah miyamivsad shaharei mikol makom lo na'asis malachto. So what explanatory work is this doing here?
If I can jump in, I think what Amir is pointing out is that even if you're masna, that you're not chayav tashlumin for Geneva Veda, that's still in the list of duties that the shomer is chayav for. Right? So we're decoupling the chayav tashlumin and the duty to perform the shmira worthy of Geneva Veda.
Right, right. I think that's the, so it's doing work and saying that when you contract out of the liability rule of a shomer sachar, you're not contracting out of the poel duty of a shomer sachar.
Yeah, but doesn't that support Yakir's read as in then therefore in circumstances where you are paying liability, you know, if you're still for distinguishing between the tashlumen and the poel side, well, you know, you neither did the poel side, and now you're also liable.
Well, I think that the response is like my reading of Rashi, which is that this mikol makom lo na'asis malachto is only it's the sole determining factor when the contract is exclusively focused on the pu'ula, right? But if the contract also triggers liability rules, then you might say, either as Gabe said originally, you're doing your malacha through paying out damages, or the contract hasn't been breached. So the fact that you breached the pu'ula thing is not so significant when you haven't breached the contract in virtue of paying out the liability owed.
So if anything correctly, as in a shomer can either be writing up a contract to do pu'ula or primarily to be responsible for liability, but it's not usually both?
Right, meaning, that's right. Meaning it's not like there are two separate things going on in a shomer where A, there's the insurance policy component and B, wages for the shmira, right? Those aren't fully separable. The haraya, the payment is what triggers the liability rule, right? I mean, the wages is what triggers the liability aspect. You can't say the wages are solely for the pu'ula shmira component.
What about, okay, that works well for the hektish in which there's never any liability, so it's totally pu'ula across the board. What about this funky case in which you're just masna? You know, let's say someone's masna about aveda. So if geneva happens, they're liable. But if aveda happens, you're just going to say they're just a poel. I think that kind of shakes this up a little bit.
So you're saying it's weird. Let's say he's masna to be pater from aveda. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just doing that to get out of the poshea kamazik. You can say it in this case. Then, oh, he's masna against geneva aveda, but if he's poshea, he's classic liable. If you assume he's not saying poshea kamazik. You can construct other cases, but I'm just saying I think it's exactly what the Meiri is trying to say is exactly like I think what Gabe just said, that there's two entirely separate streams here. There's the liability and tashlumin, and there's his duties and pu'ula. And the schar is unique, it's only tied to the pu'ula, as in he gets paid if and only if he fulfilled his duties. The fact that there's a separate p'tur tashlumin or a t'nai k'negeda tashlumin is irrelevant. And he's specifically, the whole point of the Meiri is to differentiate these two streams. And he's like a big Sveitinim kind of guy. That's how Noah and I read it at the end of the day, but I agree it's not it's a difficult near to read.
My problem with that is that you can't sever you can't make the wages purely about the Pula component, because it's those wages that trigger the liability for Neva Veda, no?
I'm not sure what you mean by the wages triggering. I said when he says, I want to be a Shomer Safar, so he's Makabo Ale Nitsirusi Yaseira, which let's call that the Pu'ula, and he's also Makabo Ale Achrayas / Shibud for, if I fail in my Pu'ula, I will also pay you. You can just say there's two deals.
Are both of those triggered by the wages that he receives?
I mean, they're both triggered by the agreement. The agreement is in the context of wages. But also,
But you're saying it's not like we shouldn't view the schar that the shomer receives as like a insurance premium type payment, because that's purely wages. It's not also the premium on the policy.
I think the way the Meiri is framing it is that they're causally totally separate. You could say in Svara, the reason he's getting paid is because he's doing more insurance. Yeah, you can say stuff, but like, I think that's fine. But within, at least limited to the Miri, I kind of thought he thinks they're like hermetically sealed, which exactly the Tanai is the perfect kind of example of that, because you're just like surgically removing the Tashlumen without any of the duties. And he says, oh, Skar Mio Nifsad.
Right, right.
And exactly like Hikir said, is in the fact that there's a Patur Tashlumen, you might have thought, well, yeah, that blows it out of the water. Of course, you're not responsible for Gneva Veda.
And what do you think of the argument that, like Gabe said initially, though, that if you are paying, maybe a Shomer Safar's duty is to either pay or return the item. So you could say if he's making out a cash payment, that is Nasis Malach, though, because he has, you know, a disjunctive primary duty, right? Either protect the thing or make payment for the thing.
I like the idea. I just didn't see it in the Miri.
Gabe, you want to pipe in on this?
No, I like the idea also, which is why I suggested it and was excited when I read the Miri, because I thought it fit that idea. But I'm shifting positions to fight with my Harusa here. I don't think that's what the Miri is saying.
So you're now on the side that everyone, the Shomer is mopsed his scar even when he pays out damages.
Let's see on Miri.
Yakir, and you support that reading?
Yeah, I think that's the more Meduyak read of the Meiri.
Okay, interesting.
But I agree it's not 100% clear.
Adam Isaac, you had a hand on this?
It doesn't tie as well to how the discussion has gone, but it just occurred to me, based on my common sense case of the ducks, that by definition, you cannot have a case, I don't understand how it's possible to have a case where the guy would actually will still get paid. Because in the case of the ducks, you would make more money by just, like, have the ducks die, you'll still make money on the case. And there are lots of cases like that, where if you just do the math, people will run sometimes to pay more money to have something washed over if it has a specific connection to them than the actual object costs.
Right, like sentimental value or special value, right?
Like, but not just in that case, certain items that theoretically have, like, sort of complicated liquidity costs with them. But the liquidity cost not going to be completely, you know, rectified by the Tashlumen. Right? Still, like, you may be willing to pay up to 80%, like, leasing a car. Like, the lease is as much as the actual payment for your car. Like, the insurance is as much as the actual payment for the car.
I think that, well, let's see. I think what you're saying is very much related to what the Ritva and Arsugya says. Did you get a chance to see that, Ritva, Adam? Very good Ritva and Arsugya.
Maybe I did, I don't know.
Okay, so we're gonna come back there in a second. So I wanna get two other, so let's get a few other shitas on the board here to nail down. I wanna mention the Ktsos and the Adamelech quickly. And then I wanna talk about the Ritva. So the Ktsos here says basically the following. I'll just zoom in on his shita, and we can talk about the Tashbetz context where he says this. In Reish Chav Zayin Yid Aleph, The Kto says the following. Kain hu kol shomrei sachar. Im shomro karoi, no tel sacharo. V'im nignav o nevad, v'lo shomro karoi. Mishalmin d'me hachefet umafsidin sacharon. So I think the Ktos here just takes it as a davar pasha that Shomer forfeits his schar whenever he's chayiv, even in cases where he is paying out liability damages, right? He says, vafilu, so clearly he reads that case as afilu, not exclusively, avadim vishtaros, de'enan bidin shmira, mafsidin scharon. So this is like Yakira's reading of the Meiri, and he cites the Gemara in Hazav, the Gemara in Ches. And the underlying rationale that the Meiri that the Ktos offers is mishum de lo hiftiach schar ela kishe yishmar oso karoi. Okay. So this sounds like an empirical assumption. You only consider that the payment is contingent on good shmira. V'afilu hachi havish shomer sachar kivan she'em yishmar karoi yitol scharo mishalim. It's important for him for the context of the discussion here with the Tashbetz to make this point. But he's saying, well, you might worry that this vitiates his status as a shomer sachar if he's only getting paid on the tzad that he exercises good shmira. But his answer is no. Like, because there's an upside, if he does good shmira, that's sufficient to render him a shomer sachar. And that's an important point for him to establish in context, because he has this debate with the Tashbetz and a Masig there about whether a contingent benefit is sufficient to make you a shomer sachar. Do you need an absolute benefit, or is a contingent benefit to turn you into a shomer sachar? So I think the Ktos is pretty clear, though, in the actual view that he has. Right? Anybody have thoughts on the? I think there's no ambiguity. Right? Thoughts on this? I mean, this phrase seems a little speculative, right? How does he know? Mishum deloiv tiach schar ala kishi yishmar oso karoi. Like, that just sounds like an empirical assumption between the parties, what the schar was promised for. But that's fine. I mean, that's the Ksos is fair to, it's okay for him to make that speculation. All right.
I was thinking about this before. The kind of the default assumption seems to be in a lot of the cases, at least in the Gemara, that they're getting paid after the fact, not before. Does that kind of assumption have any kind of maybe reflect this das that he's imputing to them?
That he's only paid after the fact, like aimless Kiras Alabasov type thing?
Oh, no, it just seems to be the Messias, like Kathan Rashi was talking about, where he said, yeah, like the Bnei Ya'ir didn't pay the Shomrim before when they sent them. They paid them when they come back successfully. Being the key word.
Why does that matter, whether they pay after the fact? You're saying because that shows that it's contingent on the service being completed?
Yeah, as in, I would say that points more towards this Kitsos's imputation.
Right, but you might say that the service provided is the shmira. It's the shmira in conjunction with the liability. Like, so it's the shmira in conjunction with the policy. That's the service that's being provided. And that is provided no matter what happens. Right? Because the policy is part of the actual service. Right? So you can imagine you buy a home alarm system that says we're going to put up an alarm, security cameras, and we'll cover any break-ins, the cost of any break-ins, right? And then the security system malfunctions or whatnot, and they cover the cost. So they cover the cost of the break-in. It's not obvious to me that the security company didn't perform. They performed in virtue of their covering the liability of the break-in. Right, Zachariah, that's why it's not obvious to say that any time they fall below the Neva Veda level, that they're considered to have not done their malacha.
No, I totally agree. I think I'm just like wondering where the Ktos came from. But I think what you're saying is totally useful.
Right. Okay, so the next source that I want to just get out here is the Yad HaMelech. The Yad HaMelech is...
Itamar, I have to go to dinner, okay?
Okay, now you could go and explore the Kol Kisvei Chaim Soloveitchik.
Yeah, now I can go read about the Ravid. See you guys.
Let me read. We should read about first.
Itamar, have you found anybody who supports your reading? Because I'm noted to it, Mustara. I just haven't seen it before now.
Yeah, like why is everybody jumping onto this take away the schar bandwagon? I think the Ritva might be on my side. I have to look at the Ritva. We're gonna look at the Ritva together here in a second. And I have to look around a little more to see like other views out there. It's just unfortunate that these sources happen to be on the wrong side of the debate. But it's okay. We're being charitable to the other view. I don't have a strong view about it. Right. Like I'm okay. I think I'm okay. Why are you note the misvara? Your note that the reading that the shomer shouldn't forfeit his schar, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. The Baal HaBehemah is paying so that he will receive either his animal or the value of his animal in return. He gets that.
Right. Meaning, I think it's too severe to hold. Like I think you need. It's almost like an insurance policy where you pay premiums, and if some tragedy happens, like you get all your premiums back. Also, in addition to being reimbursed for the damage, it doesn't happen, right? They keep your premiums, and it's like in exchange for your premiums that you get paid, right? And here it's almost like. He's the shomer sachar in virtue of getting the schar, but then, you know, once something happens, he has to give back his schar also. Yeah, I think there is something. I think that is a pretty strong argument. Let's see. So let's see what the Yad HaMelech says. Yad HaMelech is a grandson of the Noda Yehuda. He quotes the Magen Mishnah and he says this: So nistapakti b'chol shomer sachar behedyot. So in a non-hektish case, dechayva haTorah ba'osa gneva aveda. Why? What's the svara? I think that's Gabe, like your point, that the payment in kind, the replacement value, is like his, that's satisfying his chiyuv shmira. O Dilma. Did daite de hamafke b'ktsivas tschar shmiraso lo haya rak hasher yachzir lo ha-pikadon be'ena. Aval im nevad after mishayim lo demei shavye b'chol zos ha-daite de hachi lo katzav tschara. I think that's a complicated way. That second side is a complicated way of saying are the wages just for the pu'ulas hashmira to keep the thing intact? Or are they for the pu'ulas hashmira together with the policy, the indemnification, right? I think that's what he's getting at in that second line. To go back to Zachariah's point earlier, how severable are the shmira chiyuv from the tashlumin chiyuv? Another way of putting this is, do we think of the shomer's duty to compensate as a secondary duty that just flows from the breach of his primary duty of Shmira? Or is it actually a primary duty, like he has a primary disjunctive duty to either pay or be Shomer? And I think that's another way of conceptualizing this formulation. Everybody agree with me? Donnie could tell us about his LSAT prep where they talked about primary duties and secondary duties. Right, Donnie?
Not anymore. I've what's it called? I can't think anymore. Yeah, disassociated or blocked out. That's the word I was looking for. Blocked out those memories or those studying.
Gotcha. Well, didn't you send me a picture of like one of those like paragraphs and you're like, ah, oh, this is like Chabura?
Oh, yes, I did. There was something,
was that about primary duties and secondary duties and contracts?
I think so. I could look it up. I definitely could look up in our, like, I don't think we sent so many pictures to each other. So after Chabura, I'll check that.
Sounds good. We should send more, you know?
Yes, for sure.
Gabe, you have a hand on this?
There's another way to read this is to put it in the conversation of Kushur de Chiyusa, which is even if he pays him the value of the animal in full, there's still a breach of duty in that he isn't receiving the actual animal.
Oh. Gabe, did you see the Ritva on Sadi Gimel?
Yeah.
Okay, I think the Ritva on Sadi Gimel says exactly that, which I wanna get to and we'll get to in a minute. Now, the Yad HaMelech has a really interesting read of the Gemara. I think we should save his interesting read for next time. So I just want to tell you what his shita is. He notes the possibility of distinguishing the hektish case from other cases. And he says, maybe it's uniquely the hektish case where he forfeits his schar. And he says this, Mashen kein b'shileim chiyev ha-tashlumin, maybe in a case where you pay tashlumin, hamutal alav midin Torah, yachalios delo yatsa b'tashlumin eila, Raki de chovas asher hu chayev l'shali midin Torah. Aval b'chozos lo hishlim adayim b'zei de chovas shmiraso asher hu gufa kibo al atzma. So maybe there are like two dinim. The shmira and the pula component. And then he says over here, just read this paragraph. Well, let's see, actually. Yeah. He has an interesting diak in this section here. You have to work through the Shaka Vitari of the Gemara. I'm not so convinced it's a good diak, but definitely worthwhile looking at closely. But one important phrase that he has is that the reason why the Shomer pays compensation is because he didn't do Shmira Karoi. That's why he has liabilities towards the violin. The Kivan de Hashmira Lohaya Karoi Hava Ki Ilu Lo Shamar. The important point is if he did, the whole point is that both the liability flows from him not doing a proper shmira. And then he says, once you say that, memela, it makes sense that he should lose his schar shmira. Since if he's being paid to do shmira karoi, he thinks it's reasonable that, of course, if he's not shmira karoi, he shouldn't be paid at all. Kivan de ikar hashmira hikalo haya ma'ali le'inyan schar shmira imadavar nishmar hu hekesh alo. Alo kilu lo shamar kla. So he just thinks that, like, this is obvious that in all cases where you're not going to pay tashlumin, you're also going to lose. Sorry, in all cases where you have a liability to pay tashlumin, you would have to forfeit your schar. He thinks you could be medayikain in Rashi, and I'm not sure. That's the diak that you all had in Rashi at the beginning of Chabura today. And then he says this, V'kivan demidivya gemara eila mevur d'achiv tashlumen asher b'shamar sachar hu mishum shalos shamar kirai hari mevur mimela deva'ofen zeh behedjot afta hashomer mishalim b'gnev aveda b'chozos ena magia lo shum schar shmira. This is the core argument that once we know that he's breached his duty of shmira, there's no basis for compensation. Kivan de hashmira she'ena ru'uya habakilu lo shamar klal alma v'lama yishalim lo schar hashmira. That's the core of his argument. Does everybody see that? Again, I think the counter argument is just to say part of the compensation is to function as like an insurance premium. And if you undo the premiums, there's no basis to hold him liable to cover the actual loss. Right? So I'm not sure that the argument here is perfectly sound. But either way, he runs with that that diak. And he ends up concluding, like these other achronim, that you forfeit your schar even when you pay tashlumin. I want to go back now to the Ritva in our Sigya, and I want to conclude with this for today. Anybody get a chance to see this Ritva in advance of today's Chabura? Did we get a chance to see it? Yakir and Gabe, did you guys get to see it? Evan, did you get a chance to see it? Shmuel, you got a chance to see it? Okay. Look at this. Look at this really excellent rich. Zakaria, you have a comment on it?
No, I didn't see it yet.
Oh. So look what he says. He cites our Gemara. Shomer shahay yachal akadim b'rom v'makolos v'lo kidem im b'chinam hay yachal akadim v'lo kidem v'filu shomer chinam chayev. This we know, right? So shomer chinam is chayev b'chinam. And if he doesn't do b'chinam, he's chayev chayev as a poshe, and he's chayev in damages. V'im b'schar shomer chinam padar v'shomer sachar chayev l'shtalim. How much does he pay? So the Ritva sides with the Ravid. Kol ma shahaysa habehema shave yoser mischar haroim v'hamaklos. You pay the net of the value of the market value of the animals minus the cost you would have expended in saving them. Correct? Like the Ravid Shita. Oh. What about Kushu Dichiyusa? Right, what about the intangible value of the cost of retraining the animals, the schlep of going to the market? He says, "De ilu kushra de chiyusa v'agar tircha lesle lishlume ela shemafsid schara bilvad." So what's going on here? What's this suggestion? So he's saying, well, what do you take to be going on here in the Ritva?
I think I really like it. He's saying you don't really incur any of the true liquidity costs of going to the market, dealing with all that stuff. You just don't get paid.
Oh, so he's saying the bailim is losing the transaction cost value, right? The tircha, going to the headache, blah, blah, blah. He's incurring that. He's not really remunerated for that under the chiyuv tashlumin of the shomer. He's not chiyuv. He's not remunerated for that. But there is something to offset that. In other words, the shomer forfeits his schar, his wages, as a way of compensating the bailim for the kushra dechiyusa and tirfei seira. Right? Now, on its face, it seems somewhat arbitrary, right? Like the way everyone was setting it up before was, oh, like maybe the schar hashomer is for the pu'ulas hashmira, right? And that's why those should go together. It sounds to me what the Ritva is saying is that he's cutting up the space differently, and he's contending that the tashlumin of the shomer somehow correspond to the kushra d'chiyusa. No? No? Gabe, shaking your head, no?
I don't know about that either.
No, the tashlumin corresponds with the gufa behema, and then the schar.
Sorry, right. I used tashlumin right. I used tashlumin in the wrong way. Sorry, the schar hashomer, the wages of the shomer corresponds to the kushra dechiyusa intangible value loss, and the tashlumin liability compensation that the shomer pays to the bailim is for the market value loss of the items. Correct? Isn't that a really interesting theory? So the question is this totally arbitrary that the Ritva thinks that these should offset each other? I mean, the amounts might be totally different, right? Is he assuming that it's prorated or you lose your schar in proportion or up to the amount of the kushra d'chiyusa, or just that there's some philosophical or conceptual reason why you should lose, let's say, $100 in wages for $10 in kushra d'chiyusa, or $10 in wages for $100 in kushra d'chiyusa. Right, Zachary, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I think like a lot of questions, if you read it kind of straightforward, that really he has a monetary duty to pay this stuff and it's just being taken out of his wages. Yeah, you run into all those problems. I think if you, I kind of want to read this the way we read the Ravid, as that the kushra and the, like mix all the sheets together, like the kushra and the tircha, they're not gufo mamon. So you really aren't liable to pay for them. However, it's a problem because let's say the cost of the hiring the shepherds is the whole cost of the animal, then you won't have any motivation to actually do it. And this, and that's a real problem because there is a personal benefit to the Baal Bayis of the kushra, but we can't make you liable for this. So as a either number one, maybe a kanas, or number one, number two, the ritva is just pointing out the reality of the incentive that don't worry, the shomer is still incentivized to protect the flock, even just for the value of kushra, because he wants to cover get his own wages. And therefore, he's trying to do the same thing that the Raiva did, but just more compellingly, saying that there already is this idea, ba'alma, of mafsid tzcharo. So therefore, don't worry that the tircha might not be protected.
So you're lishitaska here, in that you want you view this as like the incentive, like the Raiva, also the rent payment there as a knas to incentivize proper shmira, right? So how you're making a similar argument here.
Yeah, but you could read this as not just a knas in this one case. You could read it as he holds like all the other sheets that we've seen, that your mouse could scar anytime you don't do your job. You could also read it like it's a one case knas thing. But.
Yeah, interesting. Gabe, you have a hand on this?
So I'll try and motivate a more conceptual reading and argue that perhaps like what you're paying for, the reason you hire a shomer sachar is to protect this kosher defus across, right? You don't want to have to go buy a new animal, and that's why you've hired a shomer in the first place. It's only reasonable that the shomer should lose his scar, given that the Baha Behema isn't receiving the benefit.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Meaning, I think that's what I want to say here. I want to say that exactly as Gabe said, it makes sense that the wages of the shomer should correspond to the kosher d'chiyusa, because that's what the benefit that you get from hiring a shomer to physically protect the thing, right? Meaning, you're paying him so that you don't have to deal with just with like the headache of replacing it, and let's say suing a ganiv for the market value, et cetera, et cetera. So it makes sense that the benefit that you derive from the pu'ulas hashmira is the benefit of retaining the thing itself and protecting the thing itself, which is how you avoid the kushur d'chiyusa costs and the tirfei sefer cost. I think it's exactly right, Gabe. So even if like the values don't correspond, in a rational world, those values would correspond, right? Because like the amount I would pay for a shomer, like even in Adam's case with the guy with the ducks, right? The amount he pays the shomer is the amount of benefit he gets from having his ducks, right? That in an efficient world, that's the amount of money you should want to pay. No, Gabe? You're the economist. So I think that actually, you don't need that point. You don't need the values to align. I think it's sufficient that conceptually there's good reason to connect one to the other. Gabe, you're going to say something, and then we'll give Adam the last word.
I was going to say that economics assumes slightly more rational consumers than people who own ducks.
Right. Adam, you get the last word today.
I think Gabe and I had different economics professors. I don't know. But this is the first approach I've seen so far that I think is actually like really thinking about like no arbitrage. Like there is no, this theoretically should be almost perfectly priced for everyone's right. Wants and needs and concerns.
Exactly. Meaning like even in your duck case, it's perfectly priced given the preferences of the duck owner. Right.
Everything's, yeah, everyone's well incentivized. The pricing's out. It's great.
Wow. Excellent. All right.
Efficient market.
Yeah. So next couple, I want to talk a little more. I want to see if there are shitas out there that will support the view that the shomer still gets paid. So I'm going to look around a little bit for that. And then I think we'll be good to move on to the Runya case. Ifgid Kisna Be Runya. We'll look at that. The Mishnah on Zeb Echad Ones, Eino Ones, that'll get us to the Mishnah on Kol Tanai Shevim Mamon. All right, so let's try to basically assume next time we'll wrap all this up and get to Tzadi Dalid Amid Aleph in that Mishnah. Okay? Great. Shkach, everybody. See you all on Thursday. Have a good one. Great day.